All right, First Peter. You guys don't like each other? Come on, let's do some tightening. Move toward the inside. Come on, move. Jack, you move too. Stop it. Yeah, move. Come on, guess. So who cares? If they don't like it, they can plug their nose. All right. What? What do you need?
Well, you said move up front.
Oh. No, not you. You go back there. Sound man, go back there. There's a smother in the crowd all the time. Even though each of us has a different personality, I say there is one thing in common. Many things in common. One of them happened to be this. You may think differently. If we think about somebody else, we tend to think about somebody's bad character, bad about them faster than good thing about them. Especially when we don't like them. It's hard for us to find something good about that person when we don't like them. I find out just when I do the counseling for the marital problem, they tend to say, she does this, she does this, she does this, she does this. And the wife says, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do this. Is that true? Yeah. And we tend to remember other people's bad character. However, when we want other people to think about us, what do we want them to think about us? Good thing, not bad things. So if you don't agree, let's think about this. Jonah, what do you think about it? Jonah? Well, why he got in the whale? Because, see, that's how we connect. Jonah, whale, disobedient. But do you know that he happened to be the one who preached the people in the Nineveh? And almost 500,000 people got saved in 4-day crusade. Billy Graham didn't make that record. Greg Laurie didn't make that record. Only one person in human history made that record. 500,000 people in 4 days. Alright, let's go for another guy. Samson. What do you think about him? Strength. And the guy with the uncontrollable passion. When it comes to a woman, he just cannot handle it. He become a wimp. But do we know that he was the judge of Israel for 20 years with the flawless records? There is not one record mentioned against him as a judge. Judge means he was the ruler for 20 years. I'd say that's a pretty good record for the politician. One more person. Rahab. Who is she? Huh? Prostitute. Hooker. Streetwalker. Madame. That's all we know about. But we forget that she was the one who saved the 2 spies of Israel people, and she's the one who helped them to conquer the Jericho, and also from her lineage of the David and lineage of our Messiah. And she's the one who happened to be mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as Hall of Faith. In spite of the background, spiritual background she has grown from, she chose to believe God Almighty, God of Israel. So we tend to think about bad character, bad things about the other person, more than good things about the other person. Meanwhile, we want other people to think about good things about us than bad things. Again, in Psalm, we find David saying, break their teeth, God, and destroy them. But when he is praying for himself, have mercy on me, O Lord. That's what we are. We are going to study about the book of 1 Peter, written by author who? Thank you. You guys are so smart. Peter. When we think about Peter, what do we think about him? Denying Christ for how many times? 3 times. All right. And he has a mouth, it has the shape of his foot. Why? Because he put his mouth, put foot in his mouth all the time, and just enough to take a little break so he can exchange another into his mouth. His idea of foot washing is using Listerine. Some people get it, some people didn't get it. Okay, that's fine. Well, let's go on. Now, he has a problem saying things that is wrong. I'm guilty of that. This thing says things wrong, then I say, idiot, idiot, idiot. But it's too late to say idiot because it already spilled out. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you're so merciful. You're so forgiving. While we are yet sinners, you came to save us. Your word says your mercy renews every morning, and it endures forever. Let us have mercy on one another. Let us have a heart of forgiveness like your son Jesus did to the very one who was nailing him on the cross. Oh Lord, let us be more like Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Historian, I'll just read it to you. Historian Josephus, he's a Jewish historian, and describe about the Galilean. They were fond of innovation and by nature disposed to changes. They were ever ready to follow a leader and to begin an insurrection. They have never been destitute of courage. And Thomas says about the Galileans, they were ever more anxious for honor than gain, quick-tempered, impulsive, emotional, easily aroused by the appeal to the adventure, and loyal to the end. That pretty much describes the character of Peter. As we study the book of Matthew, we will find about this man. It's a very much like us, majority of us. I tell you, all the Bible teachers and the preachers better start to run when we get to heaven, because Peter will be waiting for us. Because we tend to talk bad about Peter. But in my opinion, he is pretty much portraying our character. Put your finger in First Peter, and let's go to Matthew chapter 16. This shows a portion of a character of Peter. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. All right. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, Son of Man, am?" And so they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus wanted to know what they think about him. Since they've been together for about 3 years, heading to the three and a half years period. So he want to know what they think about it. Okay, that's other people's opinion. What's your opinion? And all of a sudden, out of blue, Simon Peter chimed in. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." underline Christ, and you might want to write there, anointed one in Greek word, and Messiah in Hebrew. In other words, anointed one or the Messiah means the deity. It's not just another person, it's a deity. He's acknowledging him as God. And the Son of the Living God. When Jesus declared himself as, I'm the Son of Man, and the Hebrew Pharisees knew exactly what he meant. So he said, they would try to stone him because he was blaspheming God. Alright, well, let's see what Jesus said in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. What's his real name? Simon, not the Peter. What's the meaning of Simon? What's the meaning of Simon? Some of you guys know this. Come on, talk back to me. Huh? Little rock. To be exact, pebble. The name we would see in a Flintstone. Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, and I also say to you that you are Peter. What's a Peter? In Greek word, Pedro. Pedro means rock. So from the pebble to rock. I'm sure by this time that Simon's pulling his suspender like this. You hear that, boys? I'm Peter now. I'm no longer pebble. I'm a rock. He's pulling his suspender out as far as he can. Peter, and on this rock, underline Peter, underline rock, please. We will go this over again, probably same explanation. Here, Peter, the Pedro, P-E-D-R-O, P-T-R-O, Petro, is masculine rock in Greek word. However, the rock here is not the same Pedro. When you look at it in Greek word, actual definition is bedrock in feminine character. In other words, this is the mother, this is the stud. This is where the Catholic Church get all out of whack. They said, well, Simon Peter is our first pope. He is the one who started the church. It's not the same rock. One is Pedro, the other one is a bedrock. So, on this church, I will build my church. The gate of hell will not prevail against them. It goes down. Let's go down to verse 21. Alright, so far what we heard is Peter claim that Jesus is a Christ and the Son of Man, the Son of the Living God. And all of a sudden, it's changing the story. Verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And here's a comment from Peter. Verse 22, Peter took him aside, began to rebuke who? Jesus. Peter got to be a real gutsy guy. You don't rebuke God. I mean, after all, he just called him, you are the Christ, anointed one and Son of the Living God. That means, yeah, I know you're God, but I'm going to rebuke you. This guy is gutsy or stupid. Saying, far be it from you, O Lord, this shall not be happen to you. Since he's the one who God speak to him, he believed that, he thought that God and him is a real tight like that. So he said, I rebuke you, God. Okay. Verse 23. And he turned to say to Peter, get behind me, what? Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. From one moment, he was in a mountaintop, being called as Peter, and you directly heard from God, and the next moment, he is in the bottom of the valley, and he is called to be Satan. That's the character of Peter. If that's not bad enough, We know, we all remember, he denied Jesus Christ for how many times? 3 times. The end of the John's book, and God prepared breakfast with the croissant and all the chocolate chip cookie and fish, all of that stuff. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, so he has this, can you imagine God preparing breakfast for us? It will happen when we get to heaven. And he has breakfast, and after they finish all the breakfast and sticking the toothpick in their mouth, and Jesus asked him, Simon Barjona, if you notice, he didn't call him what? Peter. Because he became pebble after he denied Christ for 3 times. Okay, pebble, do you love me? Remember the word? His used word is agape. Do you love me no matter what? Now, at this time, Peter realized he just denied God and denied Jesus, and he would not stick his foot in his mouth again. So he said, I like you a lot. Jesus asked him, do you love me, agape? And he answered Jesus with, I like you a lot, word phileo. He didn't dare to say, yeah, no matter what. I just denied, so I'm not going to use the word no matter what. So I'll just say, use the word agape, and phileo. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. One denial, one reinstatement. Second denial, and he did the same thing. Feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. 3 denial, 3 reinstatement. God put him back in. In other words, to Peter, having a hope is not just another Bible knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. Having a hope is more than just Bible knowledge. It becomes literally the things that are holding him in place. And not only that, Peter is known as apostle. Dearly loved apostle. And first 12 chapters in the book of Acts is done by Peter. He was the most powerful character in the first century church movement. And he was known to many people, and he was a very influential person. He wrote 2 most wonderful letters in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter, full of compassion, full of hope, full of encouragement. You might want to remember those 3 words, compassion, hope, and encouragement in 1st and 2nd Peter. We all have a character in our lives that we wish we can erase. We like to somehow use a magnet or eraser, just erase that portion. If I can do that, to live again, I would like to be born again from the day one, instead of wasting my life for 37 years. No, not 37. 1987, so for 31 years. I was hidden to the core. There's 2 things that we need to, the 2 truths remain. As Christians, we, not just Christians only, all of us, as a human being, all of us don't want to go through a difficult time. But since we came to Christ, our life should be better. That's our concept. However, God does not waste trials and tests. If you are going through trials and tests, I do believe this book, 1 Peter, will be encouragement to you. If you are going through sickness and illness, this book will be encouragement to you. If you are going through a difficult time, I believe this book will help you. Why? Because God gives us hope. God gives us strength. Sometimes we have to go down to the bottom of the pit before we give our attention to God. So what does God do? He allowed us to fall all the way to the bottom. Bless you. Well, to the point where we cannot see any other area other than looking up. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So, God allows us to go down to the bottom of the pit so we can look up and pay attention to God. Does it mean it can be salvation when we didn't know Jesus Christ? Yes. Or does it mean somebody who backslidden? Yes. What about the situation, let's say there's a person who's been walking with God all this time, doing everything right in the sight of God. And there's a more trial comes along. Why? Philip Yancey, good writer, wrote a book, Disappointing with God. You might want to read that book. Disappointment with God, it says, there's a lot of things about that. That's a great book. And it says, we tend to ask why. Folks, hear me well. God does not obligate to us to give an explanation. God is not obligated to explain us why He is doing what He's doing. But we have an obligation to be obedient. If we don't like it, we can always bail out, backslidden. However, when we backslide, walk away from God, we are the one who is miserable. A man approached the Little League baseball game one Sunday afternoon. And he asked near the dugout, a kid standing next to the dugout, what's the score? And the kid answered, 18-0, we are behind. And the man said, wow, I bet you guys are disappointed. Kid said, why should we? We haven't even started bat yet. First inning, top, 18-0. If you notice something, this kid is not disappointed. He's not in the situation where he cannot find the hope. Yet there's an 8.5 innings to go. So, I should have hope in God. Some of you guys heard this illustration. Man can survive without food for 40 days. Man can survive without water for 4 days. Man can survive without air for 4 minutes. But man cannot survive without hope for 4 seconds. Think this way. What if this building collapsed? I don't know what kinds of weight this roof has. And let's say we are on the piece of debris and beams on top of us. And nobody knows. If we know that there is no hope for us to survive through, it will be very dark. It will be very difficult for us to go on. How many of you guys remember that the miners stuck inside of the gangway? Do you know what that kept them alive? Communication with the top of the ground. There was a situation with the U.S. Marine, not Marine, the Navy. Submarine sunk to the bottom of the sea many years ago. Deep sea diver went in and tried to do everything they could to save these people. Of course, the inside is like a pressurized cooker, getting harder and harder to breathe, and pressure is getting stronger. And when the deep sea diver arrived in the hull of the submarine, he could hear a faint sound, Morse code. And he listened and he could make one sentence. Is there any hope? Hope is a very important word in our lives. That's what the theme of the whole book. Tonight, we are not going to go into a whole lot of the study, probably a couple of verses. But the whole book talks about the hope in God. And we all need that hope. We have a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a calm hope because of our personal submission to God. We have a firm hope because of the faith in God. If we don't have a hope, a lot of us will commit suicide. There's one common denominator for the people who commit suicide. What is it? They don't find hope. They cannot see that it's going to be any better. That's why they commit suicide. Letter. Epistle, which means open letter. Written by Apostle Peter. It starts with Peter, verse 1, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle of Jesus Christ. It didn't say Peter, the one who denied Jesus Christ for 3 times. It says apostle, the one sent. He does not dwell on the past. I said this before, but it is worth repeating. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Do not dwell on your past. Past is only good for one thing. Compare it with the current situation, make it better. You cannot do one thing for the past. It doesn't do any good for you to dwell in the past. If you dwell in the past, you will be disappointed. If you dwell in the what if in the future, you will be schizophrenic. But if you dwell in God, the hope in God, you have all the hope you can find. So Peter is saying that because I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, I can go on. Let's mark the few verses. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 27. Let's go there. Mark, chapter 10, verse 27. We'll go through the verses real fast. Mark 10, 27. Mark 10, 27. They were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, I'm reading 26, who can be saved? Verse 27 says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. Next word, put it in your heart, is, for with God, what? All things possible. Philippians 4:23. 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Right after Ephesians, right before Colossians, Philippians 4:13. Some of you guys know this by heart. 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot do all things with my own power, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The main point is Christ who strengthens me. One more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 10. Again, this is one of those memory verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my in weakness. I'll read it again. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. Next line is the point. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So all these verses are pointing to the strength of God, not our own strength. There's a 4 points that we're going to learn in 1 Peter. And as I said, this is an overall overview. Number one, trial may vary, but God is we are valuable to God. Trials may vary, but we are valuable to God. Let's go back to the 1 Peter. Bless you. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. And right there, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while I need, if need be, you have been greeted by the various trials, but the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory and revelation of Jesus Christ. Trials produce grief and intensity. However, in God's sight, we are valuable. That's why He refines us with a fire and making us more pure than gold. Second element we find in 1 Peter is, we can find in chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. How many of you guys like the trials and tests? Be honest with me. You love it? You're sick. However, according to James, according to 1 Peter, it said that we are supposed to rejoice. I thought, that's a tall order, God. Test God brings us seems unreasonable and difficult, but God has His reason for allowing them to be in our lives. None of the trials, none of the tests, none of the difficulties would be in our lives unless God says okay. Unless He put the stamp of proof, devil cannot send the sickness, devil cannot send a difficult time to us. Let us not think that God was cut off guard when we go through the trials and tests. He doesn't say, oops, I didn't see that coming. He saw that coming. Verse 18 of chapter 2. Servants, be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of the conscience toward God one endures grief and suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. A lot of times we can understand why God is allowing us to have that difficult time, but He does. As I said before, God, He does not owe us explanation, but we owe Him obedience. Let's remember that. And God never promised in the entire Bible, if you can find it, I'll give you $100. However, you cannot find it. There is no place in the Bible that says Christian life is easy. Only thing that He promised that easy is His yoke. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, I'll just read it to you. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, then learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We still carry His yoke. we still have to do what we need to do, going through the trials and tests. Third element is trials are inevitable. We find it in chapter 4 in 1 Peter. Chapter 4, 1 Peter, verse 12. Beloved, do not think that it is strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad and with exceeding joy. When we go through trials and tests, according to the Word of God, we are partaking his suffering and eventually his glory. This is one place that I have a hard time understanding. Why would God enjoy my suffering? By doing so, I get to be more like refined by the fire. We become more pure and get to know him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Another memory verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is the area where the faith movement people did not appreciate this portion. You know, faith movement people name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, just say what you want, you should have it, if you have faith. They don't want this portion of the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, I may know him and power of his resurrection. That sounds good, power of his resurrection. And raising the dead, a man from the dead, that's a power. And fellowship what? Fellowship of what? His suffering. So that we can identify with him. We can be connected with him. Being confirmed to his, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Fellowship of suffering, ladies and gentlemen. Trials and tests is inevitable. Something we must face. But lastly, trials are temporal, not eternal. That's the best part. Trials are temporal, not eternal. In other words, there's a light and the end of the tunnel. It's not incoming train. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Verse 9. Resist him, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Restoration is coming. And someday we will see him face to face. There will be no more tears. There will be no more night. There will be no more darkness. Because he alone is all light. He is full of glory. I draw the three applications. Number one, failure in the past does not nullify the purpose of future. Failure in the past does not nullify the purpose in the future, and not of the future. When we are down and out, we can reach up and grab hands of God. He is always to pull us up. He is a little prayer away. Doesn't mean he will pull us out of the trials and tests right away. But he promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will walk with through the valley shadow of death. Second application, broken heart is a great preparation for healing fractured lives. A broken heart is a great preparation for the fractured, for healing fractured lives. I find it in verse chapter 51 of Psalm and verse 17 says, broken heart and contrite spirit you will not despise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, Blessed be the God and Father of all, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the mercies and the God of all comfort. Some of you guys went through a terrible time with the terrible trials. I myself being one of them. But by you allowing me to go through that terrible trials and tests, I learned one thing. Now I can be used by God to comfort somebody else with the same comfort we receive from the Holy Spirit. If you went through terrible illness, who can minister to somebody who went through going through the difficulty and illness? That person who went through. Who can minister to the mother who lost a child? Another mother who lost a child before. And minister by God. Who can minister to the one who just lost a dear spouse? Another person. God does not waste trials and tests. God uses it to comfort those who need comfort with the same comfort that we receive from God. Third application. The word of encouragement of hope bring more precious and valuable thing than thousand thought ever express. A word of encouragement brings encouragement of hope brings more precious and valuable things to the person who is going through than thousands words that you never express. I hate to go to the funeral ceremony. They all come out to talk good about that person. And I would love to ask them, did you tell them before when that person died? Probably not. Then why are you telling them when they are dead? Why don't you tell them before they died? There's a pastor who prefer to say not a good encouragement to the volunteers. That person thinks that he doesn't want to rob the reward in heaven. I think the other way. I like to encourage other people. I want them to know that I appreciate it. I want them to know they are blessing other people. So it is important for us to encourage one another with our kind word. Don't wait for the other person to be dropped dead. Go say a nice thing to the other person. Instead of looking for bad character, as we talked about at the beginning, let's look for something good for one another. All right? Done?